small Upanishads, very small. As a matter of fact, they are the only two small ones. All the others are fairly large, longish. And one is considered to be the first, I don't know why. Ishavasya Upanishad is said to be first. In other words, it's always printed as the first Upanishad in all books. And the first mantra is the most famous, Upanishadic mantra. And the Upanishad takes its name after the first word. Ishavasyamidam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat. It gives a revelation just like that, without any fanfare, without any prologue, without any introduction, just like that. Ishavasyamidam sarvam. What does it actually mean? As usual, it can mean several things. Isha avasyam. Isha is God. And supposing you write it in English, in Roman characters, you are going to write ISA. So what does God mean? Is. It is a God. It is something. It is something. Whatever is God. Whatever is God. So that there is no, the Vedantin doesn't have the problem of proving God exists or does not exist. The simplest thing is if you can prove that this exists, it's God. If you say that this changes into something else, that something is God. And if you say that something changes into something else, that something is God. And you go on, right down to the ultimates, what therefore exists ultimately, and what therefore is the basis of all this, and therefore what forms the very substance and core of everything is God. Now, you cannot disprove this. And you cannot argue that this does not exist. What exists or what appears to exist does have a core, the fundamental essence. It may even be what is called in science the building blocks of creation. The fundamental essence. Right, at one stage we think the molecules are the fundamental essence, alright, that is God. Then you suddenly discover the molecules are themselves composed of something else, that is God. Then you discover something, go on and on and on and on. Quantum physics and some other physics, quark physics. It doesn't matter what you call it, that fundamental essence that you have arrived at that point is God. That which exists is God. So, Isha is something that which is. That which is God. So that the problem does not arise for the Vedantin to say God exists or to prove that God exists. What exists is God. Isha avasya midam sarvam. The whole universe is our verbalization. It just means all this, idam sarvam, idam, this, sarvam, all. Hey, you go on. The Vedantin is not even worried about your saying the universe. Well, if you think of something else, idam sarvam. Whatever you can point to and say this, God dwells in it. Isha avasya midam sarvam. Everything that you can point to, this is indwelt by God. Avasya also is translated as clothed. But that's a bit funny. If you say clothed, you are once again to go on, yes? This entity is clothed by God. But then suddenly you realize that this entity is not one entity, it consists of a billion cells. So each cell is clothed by God. And you might say that the cell itself is not a single entity, there are inframicroscopic stuff there. And each one of those things is clothed by God. Whichever way you look, you will arrive at the same point. Isha avasya midam sarvam. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Jagat means the world. And I think we take these Upanishadic rishis too seriously. They are full of a sense of humor, beautiful sense of humor. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat. In order that you and I may not have a fixed idea of world, he plays a little fun on that word, jagat. Jagat also means to move or vibrate. So whatever vibrates in this thing called world, it's called world because things in it are vibrant. Why is it called world? Because it is vibrant. Probably in English it's called world, it's because it is whirling all the time. Is that so? It is whirling and so it's called world. Et kincha jagatyam jagat. Whatever moves, vibrates, all this is pervaded by this one God. Tena tyaktena bunjitha. First there was a revelation, then there was a little bit of beautiful humor, and then a conundrum, puzzle. Abandon it and enjoy. Abandon what and enjoy? Abandon it. Abandon your idea that this is a world and enjoy. Tena tyaktena bunjitha. If you enjoy something considering it as an object of enjoyment, then you are trapped in it. If you see only God in everything, since this everything has been created, for want of a better word, by the combination of consciousness and energy being motion and life, consciousness being the awareness of this motion and life, it is inevitable that you will be doing something. Every particle in this existence is continuously doing something. And in the doing something, there arises experience. You cannot do anything without an experience resulting from it. Why is it so? Because you are conscious. Where consciousness even witnesses an activity, there is an experience. Is that right? Whether consciousness actually participates in that action or witnesses the action, there is an experience. You are doing nothing at all, you are sitting with your eyes and your ears open. So therefore you are hearing what I am saying. You are seeing this body. You cannot help that. So, when consciousness remains aware of the movement of energy, there is awareness, there is experience. There is no need to avoid that experience, you cannot do it. But abandon the idea that this is an object of enjoyment. When you create this as an object of enjoyment, the subject arises as a divided entity. Right? It's quite simple it is. Avoid this division and enjoy. Enjoy in the sense, let life flow in you, through you, around you, everywhere. Right. This, what is this enjoyment? And what does it imply? What is this God? And how does one realize this God? What does this God look like? Is very beautifully dealt with in the other Upanishads. Mandukya Upanishad. This is also very small. Very, very small. And people have treated this fairly seriously, very serious. Mandukya Upanishad is supposed to be the quintessence of all Upanishadic teaching. They have even coined a lovely little verse, Mandukya Mekamevalam Mumukshunam Vimuktaye. This Mandukya Upanishad, just one will do for the enlightenment of seekers. Enlightenment of sincere and serious seekers. If you study this and say, oh, well, I have not attained enlightenment, they are going to say that you are not a seeker. You are a dull, inert donkey. So, it's better not to say, after listening to Mandukya Upanishad, that I am not enlightened. It's good to say you are enlightened. But here again, it's a very beautiful, simple and beautiful Upanishad, full of humor, full of intriguing, super logic. And it explains or reveals the nature of this reality. And gets hold of this word Om. It looks as though the master is interested in expounding the secret meaning of Om. Om ityetat aksharam idam sarvam. Om. That is what all this is. There you are told Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Here you are told Om ityetat aksharam idam sarvam. At least you know, you recognize those two words. Right. Again, a little pun, a little word play. Aksharam means a letter. An akshara is a letter. And of the alphabet. And akshara also means that which doesn't deteriorate. Eternal. So they say that sound is eternal, akshara. Every akshara is eternal. And that's why it's called akshara. So, now, there we were told Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Here we are told Om ityetat aksharam idam sarvam. This imperishable, undecaying akshara, Om, is all. That is everything. And therefore Om is regarded as Ishvara. God. In the Yoga Sutras, you have the result. Tasya vachaka pranavaha. How do I look upon God? Or how do I call out to this God? Om. Om is not so much the name of God as a verbal indicator. What is the difference? In India, for instance, a married woman is usually not allowed to call out her husband's name in his presence or in his absence. There are very funny stories about that. And, I'll give you a story. If Julie goes to South Africa and travels up north, Northern Transvaal. And supposing she follows this tradition, this Indian Brahminical tradition of not mentioning her husband's name. She wants to go to some place, and she goes to the rail station and she says, give me a ticket to that place. What place? Unfortunately, it contains my husband's name. I can't pronounce it. And so she says, our pair ulla urk, our urk, our he, to his place. What is it? Petersburg. It's a bit of a difficult thing, but then she is not allowed to say Peter. How can she? She is not allowed to say it, she is not allowed to write it, Petersburg. So what is she supposed to do? So, Om ityeta aksharam idam sarvam tasya upavyakhya. All this is Om. What is Om? It is not the name of God, because if it is God's name, we won't take the name of God. It is a sort of an indicator. What would she do when she wants to indicate, without mentioning his name? She would say, avarku, he. And supposing they are the only ones at home, and he is in the kitchen or somewhere, and she is somewhere else, and she wants to call, hey. When she says, in a certain way, it means, it's Peter. He is supposed to say yes. In some places, the husband also is not allowed to mention the wife's name, call the wife by his name. And so, again, once again, it means the wife will start responding. Yes, what do you want? So, Om is not the name of God, but the of God. When you say, it's indicative of the husband or the wife. So here, when you say Om, it is indicative of God, not exactly the name, but indicative of God. Tasya vachaka pranavaha means exactly this. If you can put it in your own language, it will be very nice for the next edition of the Yoga Sutras. I don't think it's possible. So, Om ityetat aksharamidam tasyopa vyakhyanam bhutam bhavat bhavishyati sarvam omkar eva. That which is past, present and future. It's all Om. Why? Because Om is God. Om is for God. So since I have indicated God by Om, I can say that Om is the past, present and future, by which I am merely saying that God is the past, present and future. Yes, chanya trikala atitam tadapyomkar eva. Well, if you can think of or suggest a timeless eternity, that's also Om. You're dismissed. Yachanya trikalatiram tadapyomkareva sarvakam ye tad brahma. Suddenly you switch from one expression to another expression. One Upanishad says, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. God dwells in all. Then this Upanishad starts with Om is everything. Then suddenly, for no apparent reason, sarvakam ye tad brahma. All this is Brahman. So in effect you are saying what? Once you say God is everything, once you say Om is everything, then you say Brahman is everything, what? Well, find out what it is. Are these the same? No. Can I then go away with the feeling that, well, these are all different words for exactly the same thing? Dev says, no. Ishvara is not Brahman. Brahman is different, Ishvara is different. Sarvam yedat Brahma. And he says, no, the confusion is not complete. I am Atma, Brahma. Whatever you call Atma, by pointing a finger to your own chest, that's also Brahman. And the confusion is utterly complete. It's supposed to be God, it's supposed to be Om, it is supposed to be Brahman, it is supposed to be Atma, but none of these things is really a synonym for the other. So, without any complacency, without fooling oneself that I know what it is, examine it. Work. The one fundamental problem, difficulty or characteristic of the Upanishadic approach is that the student has to work as hard as the teacher, or the teacher has to work as hard as the student. There is no sitting there and smoking and listening to a couple of talks and going away thinking I've had it. No. This is not a knowledge which can be acquired like that. It is not something which 2 plus 2 is 4 and you go on telling everybody that 2 plus 2 is 4. That's absurd, useless. In order to get this knowledge, you have to work as hard as the teacher. And by the time you have finished this study, you must be the teacher, one with the teacher, on the same platform. Upanishad. The teacher and the student are seated together on the same platform, and by the time this Upanishadic transmission is complete, you become as efficient as the teacher. Which means at every stage, with every statement, there should be tremendous inner work. Otherwise, it is not Upanishad. It's a lesson on Indian philosophy, which is bird nuisance. You can get MA, PhD, but that's all. MA in one of the Indian languages means buffalo. I am Atma, Brahma. So, what is called the self is the infinite. And the infinite is Om. Om is all the three periods of time, that which is timeless. And his Om is everything everywhere. God is everything everywhere. Oh. So that I cannot escape. Whichever way I turn, I see a finger pointing. Careful, that's also God. If I turn within the self, God. If I look at all this, God. If I make a sound, God. If I think of the infinite, God again. Soyam Atma Chadushpad. Another beautiful, lovely, funny statement, or I don't know how you would interpret it. This self or Atman has four padam, can be feet, or quarter. One quarter, three quarters, two quarters, three quarters, and four quarters is one. So, this Atman has four quarters. What do you mean four quarters? Everything that can be divided into four has got four quarters, isn't it? Cut a cake into four, it's got four quarters. So a cake also has got four quarters. Or you can say that it has got four legs, 4 feet. How do you interpret this? How do you understand this? This Atman has got four feet, four legs, four quarters. Whichever way you look at it, you are going to run into some difficulty. And that is, you are going to regard each one as a separate entity. Without realizing, the moment you make them separate, you have violated the first principle. Ishavasimidam sarvam. Everything, the whole thing is pervaded by God. And don't make one quarter God and the other three quarters something else. Careful. What are the four quarters? Or what are the ears? What are the four parts? Or see, you're struggling. Whatever you say is wrong. If you say four parts, wrong. If you say four feet, wrong. If you say four quarters, wrong. And yet that's what the Upanishad says. In order to help you, lend you a crutch, a pair of crutches, and then quickly pull the ground out from beneath your feet. That is the Upanishadic trick. It gives you a couple of crutches, and you say, thank you very much, I can walk better now. And then suddenly the ground from under your feet is pulled away. What do you give the crutches for? Well, that's it. I thought you would be able to walk. Jagritasthano bahishpragnyah saptanga ekona vimshati mukah sthula vaishvanara prathamapadah. I'll give you the four, whatever it is, one by one, very neatly and correctly. Good, thank you very much. Jagritasthana, the same self, when in the state of waking, it's very difficult. The moment we put it in proper English phraseology, you might miss something. Jagaritasthanaha, the self when in the state of waking. Bahishpragnyaha is aware of external thing, objects, or has externalized awareness. Saptangaha, in that state he has got seven limbs. There are various interpretations, don't bother about it. Ekona vimshati mukha, he's got 19 mouths. Sthula mukha. And through all this, he enjoys gross objects. This is the clue given for the crossword puzzle. With the help of these clues, figure out what it is. Now you are really getting worried. It's not so easy. In other words, you are asked to find out for yourself who it is that is aware. Don't assume that it is the mind, it is the soul, it is... No. He has got 8 limbs, 19 mouths, and he has got externalized awareness. That's it. This is the first pada, whether you call it quarter or limb, foot, This is the first foot. All this Atma. And this is later identified with Ah in Om. I'll come back to that. Alright. Now, second. Svapnasthanonta prajna saptange ko navimshati mukha pravivikta bhuktaijasodvitiya pada svapnasthana. The same Atman. Now you are getting into trouble. They are not two different people. They are not two different entities. The same self, when he enters into the dream state, he also has got the same 7 limbs and 19 mouths. Except that he doesn't enjoy these gross external objects, but very quietly enjoys within himself. Who is it that dreams then? The same person who is experiencing this, what is known as the external gross world, is the same person that enjoys the dream world also. And just as you have mathematical symbols, or symbols in mathematics, that is regarded as U in this Om. And for this purpose, Om is subdivided into Aum. Wait, we'll come back to that. The symbol for dream state is U. Svapnasthananta prajna. Yatra supto nakanchana kamam kamayati nakanchana svapnam pashyati. Where there are no desires, like now, in the waking state, we are full of desires. Na svapnam pashyati, and there are no dreams. Tat sushuptam, that is sleep. First, the Rishi defines sleep, just for your understanding. Sushuptasthana yeki bhutaha. In that, we don't know whether there are these 7 limbs and 19 mouths and all this sort of thing. No, yeki bhutaha. Is become homogeneous, completely homogenized. Prajnanagana evanandamayo hyanandamaya cheto mukha. Prajnanagana. Then this awareness has become one whole ball. A sweet ball. It's not pointing out, it's not pointing in, it's not pointing anywhere, it's just a whole mass of prajnana. Anandamaya. Oh, blissful. How do you know he is blissful? Because he is not worried. In sleep, you are neither worried nor anxious nor unhappy, so you must be blissful. Cheto mukaha. It's a funny thing. The awareness is neither flowing externally nor flowing internally, but it is merely, it has its face turned upon itself. Cheto mukaha. That thing has its face turned upon itself. That's all. So it's quietly stationary. Prajnastitiyapadaha. And this is indicated by the third sound symbol, ma. Yesha sarvesha, yesha sarvajna, yesha antarjam, yesha yonihi. This is the of all creation. This is God. This is the womb of all creation. Everything comes out of that naturally. When you are asleep, there seems to be nothing at all. It is as if the whole creation has been withdrawn. And the world has not yet been created. And then, slowly something comes up. This is the womb of all creation. Then, nāntah pragyam nabahi pragyam nubhayata pragyam na pragyana ganam na pragyam na pragyam. Oh, na, everything is na. Nabahi pragyam. It's not an externalized consciousness. Nāntah pragyam, it's not an internalized consciousness. No ubhayata pragyam, you cannot say it's functioning both. That I am aware of something outside, I am aware of something inside. Why does he say all this? Because it is only when there is this ego functioning do all these expressions get a meaning. Externalized awareness means what? You are aware of something external to yourself. Internal awareness means what? I am aware of my own thoughts. Ubhayata prajnam, I am aware both of the external and the internal states. I am. Adrishtam avyavadyam, etc., etc. You can't see, it can't be seen, it can't be heard. Chaturtham mantyante sa atma sa vigneyaha. That is the Atman. Chaturtham manyante, this is the fourth. But it is not fourth in the sense of this is 1, 2, 3, 4, one quarter of the totality. But this is the totality that is undividedly present in the rest. Just as Om as a sound is indivisible. You cannot divide it. It's not Om, sorry. I is not part of Om. U is not part of Om. Mum is not part of Om. Om is Om. But this indivisible sound runs through Aum. Don't divide it. You cannot divide it. Without dividing it, you are aware, you are pronouncing the whole Om sound, and while doing so you are aware that it encompasses these three stages, Aum. And so that's one, this is two, this is three, that the whole thing is four. That's it. Good. The waking state is one, the dream is two, the sleep is three, the turiya is the whole lot. Yourself is the whole lot. Whether you are awake or dreaming or sleeping, that is. Does it undergo a change with when I sleep or when I wake up or when I dream? Is this Om sound? Does this Om sound cover Auma? Or is it a combination of Auma? You understand me? Combination means you take these three things separately. Put it it doesn't become Om. Sorry. One. But the Sanskrit grammarian Jnanananda Swami says it is A and U, when they are joined together, become O. And then when the dot is put on top, it becomes M, Om. So, Om is really A, U, Ma conjoined together. But that is the grammarian's point of view. The truth being that it is indivisible. Consciousness is indivisible. But the grammarian, who is a fool, says that this is the waking state, and the waking state is the mind that functions, and it functions in this manner and so and so. And there is also a little bit of fun in wordplay. Why do you associate ah with waking state? Adimatvam. Because it is the beginning. We call it ah. Apnoti hava. One attains to this. One reaches out. And why is u regarded as a symbol for dream? Utkarshati. Ubhayatvat. Utkarshati. It lifts you, pulls you away. Pulls you away from the waking state into the dream state. Yeah? This is definite pulling. You are pulled away. Utkarshati. Ubhayatvat. And this dream state has some elements of both these others, waking and dream and sleep. As in sleep, you are not aware of the environment, external environment. But as in waking, you got some objects and you are enjoying yourself. So, since it partakes of the ubhaya, the two sides, it's ubhayatvat. And therefore, it is u is the symbol, mathematical symbol. And why is ma, the symbol for deep sleep? Minoti hava, it's the measure. And mi also is the final. A measure and the final. And so we call it this ma, makara, symbol. Having said all this, Om ityetu daksham idagam sarvam. Om is the Atman. Om is the symbol of God. And as you meditate on Om, you realize that there is something which is indivisible. That indivisible is self. Self is indivisible. When it becomes indivisible, it becomes indivisible not only in the sense of waking, dreaming and sleep, but also past, present and future. When it becomes the substratum for all this past, present and future, that obviously has no time. That obviously is not conditioned by time. If it is limited by time, it must have a beginning. If it has a beginning, there is something beyond that. So, that which transcends time, that which transcends time also spans these three things called past, present and future. That which transcends time necessarily spans, includes all these, past, present and future. That is the self. And that self is infinite. And that is God, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. When that is realized by direct intuition, then you are free. Nasya bravit, brahmavit kule bhavati. You are free, instantly freed. And you are enlightened. Hari Om Tat Sat.